Turn to the book of Proverbs, please. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Proverbs, chapter number 4. Last time we met, we began speaking about and teaching on this idea of the validity of instruction. And we began to look at verse number 1, and as we looked at verse number 1, we saw the trainer, the trainer. And now we'll move on to verse number 2, and I'll begin just reading verse number 2 and verse number 2 through 4 as a way of getting starting tonight. I'll just go ahead and read 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain mine words, keep my commandments and live. Father, we come before you today as we continue in this passage of Scripture, Father. And I pray, Lord, as we really begin to understand the validity of instruction, Father, that last week we saw the trainer, but today we're going to see the teacher. So, Father, I pray you bless this time. Father, speak to hearts, be a help to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about the trainer. This week in verse number 2, we're going to see the teacher. So the trainer really is just a physical medium by which the teaching is applied to the person. You say, well, what is that? Understand this, the trainer is not the teacher. So if the trainer is not the teacher, if the trainer is just a physical medium by which teaching is applied, I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is simply this, which begs us to ask this question today, whom or what's the teacher? Whom or what's the teacher? Well, we ask ourselves that question, but God's Word already gives us the answer to that. Notice in verse number 2, whom the teacher is. First of all, the teacher is, notice what the Word says, good doctrine. The Bible says, for I give you good doctrine. Doctrine really are the principles that form the basis of our beliefs. And the validity of instruction is found in this fact that it's, notice what it says, it's good doctrine. And a lot of things taught in our public schools today wouldn't qualify really as good doctrine. You think about it, and it wouldn't be qualified as good doctrine. And the world really has forsaken the ways of the Lord. But godly wisdom is always, and I'm going to repeat this, always good doctrine. Understand this, that not all doctrine is good. Some doctrines are the doctrine of devils. And I think Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 in verse number 1 says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And notice the last part of the words, and doctrines of devils. Some doctrines are doctrines of devils. Some doctrines are the doctrines of men. Colossians 2 and verse 22, Paul again touching on this thing of bad doctrine. The Bible says, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men. So we find some are doctrines of devils, some are doctrines of men. But then notice in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 9, Paul again really begins to teach us this area that not all doctrine is good. He said in Hebrews 13 and verse number 9, he said, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. So here we find that Paul says there's some bad doctrines out there. The doctrine of devil, the doctrine of men, and the Bible says in divers are different and strange doctrines. And so this good doctrine that we're to receive from, where did it come from? Well, the Bible gives us the answer again. Notice where it comes from. It comes from the law. It comes from the Bible. It comes from God's Word. Notice what he says in verse number 2, the second part of that verse. The Bible says, forsake ye not my law. Notice what the Father said. The Father said, it was my law. Now, this is stop for a moment, put your thinking caps on, and ask yourself this question. Why did the Father say, this is my law? Why did the Father say that? Because he knows it's sound? That's a great answer, yes. Anybody else want to tackle it? Why did he say it's my law? He has authority? Yes, that's a great answer. But I think there's something else we're missing here. What's that, sister? It's personal, yes. How about that? He says it's my law because he has adopted it and placed it into to be a part of his own personal life. You know, ultimately, we know it wasn't Solomon's law. Ultimately, we know it was God's law. It was his holy word. And he's the authority behind all that the Father, again, is teaching his son here in this passage. According to Psalm 119, the Bible has several different names for itself, and the law is just one of them. In Psalm 119, we find this word. Instead of the law, the Bible uses the word commandments. It uses precepts. It uses the word judgment and statutes, and also uses this word testimony. And so that's the wording that the Bible uses to define itself. But you know what? There's also other symbols of the Bible that's found in our Bible. Can anybody help me with any of those? I'll just give you one. In James chapter number 1, it speaks of the Bible as a mirror. What are some other symbols of the Bible? Anybody help me out? How about if I give you another one? How about seed in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23? How about somebody else? Another symbol of the Bible. Tracy? A lamp, yes, in Psalm 119. How about this? Not the plastic jug either. Water, that's right. Another symbol of the Bible is water, found in Ephesians 5. How about something that I gave Benjamin and Brody just because I was being a cool pastor, and they do this with each other, with their dads. Sword, that's right. He's got it, a sword in Ephesians 6. How about something else? How about instead of the term meat, what else is there? The bread, yes, but how about something weaker than bread? We have the meat and the milk of the word, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2. And then how about this in Psalm 6 and verse number 51? Sometimes if you get a good cathead biscuit, just a big old biscuit about this big, it's like an extra grand biscuit, amen? So you put butter on it, but then you put something else on it. Honey, that's right, in Psalm 6 and verse number 51. And then if you did any kind of work around your house, or you're a carpenter, you might use this. What word was this? A hammer in Jeremiah 23 and verse number 29. And also Jeremiah concludes in verse 20 and verse number 9 that he, symbolic of the Bible, is the fire. So really, that's just to name a few of the symbols the Bible has for us. So it brings us to this point this evening where I want to be. Why is the Bible so important in our lives? If I were to say, tell me one reason why the Bible was so important in our lives, how would you answer that? Who would be first? Why is it so important? It's a roadmap to heaven. Great answer. Instructions on how to live. Okay. Pardon me? To grow in Christ. Yes. It's the foundation. Yes. Great answer. Anybody else? Truth. All right. Hope. Yes. Praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, how about this? I wrote down just a couple. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Why is it so important, the Bible so important in our lives? Number one, we grow spiritually as individuals by the Word of God. We grow spiritually as individuals by it. You know, here's the truth. One 40-minute sermon or one 45-minute Sunday school lesson a week is not enough time for us to be in the Word of God. If we expect to mature and be mature followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess what? We're going to have to commit to a lifestyle of letting the Word of Christ dwell in us. It's more than just coming on Wednesday or coming Sunday morning. The Word of God has to dwell inside of us. Paul writes to the church of Colossae in Colossians 3 and verse 16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So I think the first reason why the Bible ought to be important, because we grow spiritually as individuals by it. But then notice something else. Our churches will be healthier for it. You know, healthy churches are made up of what? Healthy people, that's right. Healthy churches are made up of healthy Christians. Church members who stay in the Word, they overflow with the fruit. Can you answer the rest of it? The fruit of the Spirit in your life. That's exactly right. So as a result, guess what? As a result of the Holy Spirit of God flowing through us, guess what? We're more patient. We're more loving. We have more joy in our life. And guess what? We're more others focused. I think the last couple messages I've been trying to really point this out, that we need to be more others focused than we are focused on ourselves. Well, why is the Bible so important? I think there's a third reason why. I wrote this down in my notes. We then can reach more for Jesus Christ. We then can reach more for Jesus Christ. You know, understanding that the Bible really is the foundation for soul winning. It's a foundation for missions. As a matter of fact, it's the foundation for our total ministry, not only here at Sharon Baptist Church, but it should be in every independent fundamental Baptist church. We shouldn't expect to be motivated to tell others about God's love for them if we're not engaged in the Word ourselves. You know, there's no way Christine could have been motivated to tell the, I guess it's the Swan Man, I don't know who it was, Swan Man there about the Lord Jesus Christ if she was not engaged in the Word herself. Miss Kay could not have did battle with the Jehovah's Witnesses at her front door. Guess what? Unless she was engaged in God's Word herself. But so the opposite is true is this. When we're dwelling in the Word and it's dwelling in us, we can't help but not tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our teacher is both the Holy Spirit and also God's Word. And both of those two together, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, emphasize the importance of not forsaking the Word of God in our life. Well, as we look at the validity of the instruction, not only do we see the trainer, which was whom? Do you remember from last week? Who was the trainer? The Father. Today we saw who the teacher was, and who is the teacher? Twin teachers. They are what and what? Doctrine and the law. Thank you. Doctrine and the law. Thank you. We appreciate that. Then look, notice in verses 3 through verse number 9, and notice lastly the testimony in verses 3 through verse number 9. Well, we'll have time just to read them tonight. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3 down through 9. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, and love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doth embrace her. And then verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So as we close out this couple of verses, verses 2 and 3, understand this, that we saw last week, the trainer was the Father. The second today in verses 2 and 3, we understand who the trainer is. The trainer is not the teacher. The trainer is none other than God and His Word and doctrine. Let's pray. Father,